Well, good morning. I'm Evie. I'm starting third year on PhD at the Laboratory of Integrated Performance and Design at EPFL in Lausanne. And today I'll be presenting a collaborative study I did with Stefan, who is now postdoc in the same laboratory. And for the presentation, I'll give an overview of our study, and Stefan will come for the technical details towards the end. So today we're delving into the world of virtual reality, luminance, and tone mapping. And to give a little bit of the context, VR has significantly advanced the study of light perception and views out by offering in-depth perception and the ability to control unpredictable environmental elements. But conducting VR experiments do have inherent limitations in physical environments, especially when it involves natural light and its dynamics due to its hardware characteristics. To address this limitation, researchers often capture high dynamic range photographs, the HDR, which are then tone mapped, meaning their luminance range is compressed to lower dynamic range displays, such as the VR headsets or the computer monitors. And this process is usually assisted by using tone mapping operators, the TMOs, for effectively replicating the scenes. And for brevity, I'll just refer to tone mapping operators as TMOs from now on. But due to limitations in the camera sensors and the time it's required for producing HDR images, most cameras struggle to capture changing daylight conditions or dynamic movements in real time. Our study offers a way to incorporate VR in daylighting and beyond research by capturing real-time videos, tone mapped using cameras' automatic settings. The aim here is to understand the trade-off between perceptual accuracy of the scenes represented to the viewers and the technical feasibility of producing these videos. So to investigate this trade-off, we assessed the performance of the camera's built-in video output against the currently used tone mapping operators to quantify their ability to retain brightness and contrast information in the VR environments. And for our comparison, we chose these 9 tone mapping operators listed on the slide by the last name of the first author and the publication date. The last two tone mapping operators, the Reimar 02 and Reimar 05L, stands for the local adaptation. And we chose these tone mapping operators based on their wide algorithmic approaches, their usage in the previous VR research, and their availability through open source implementations like the Radiance or PFS tools. For our analysis, we use Canon R5 camera with dual fisheye lens, which allowed us to capture 180 degree stereoscopic videos. And during our scene collection, we also monitored outdoor illuminance level using LFT luxmeter for consistent weather conditions. And we also produced 2 HDR images through the multiple exposure photos taken before and after the video collection. And these HDR images serve as our ground truth reference to assess the performance of the 9 TMOs at particular outputs. In total, we collected 10 scenes for our analysis to have enough variability in the environmental context and the weather conditions. The weather conditions for our scenes ranged from completely overcast to completely clear sky conditions. And each of these 10 scenes included sky, landscape, and the ground layers, but differed in the view content and covered a wide range of luminance, ranging from 2,400 to 86,000 kilowatts per square meter. Our method for analysis used contrast invariant difference metric, known as CIVDM, which is computer-based visual perception model that has a focus on human visual system. And for real-world application, we used a VR headset, Nikon Neo 3i, to test images for participants. Our reference, our visual reference shown in the figure A was the cropped fisheye image with roughly equal solid angle representation, which avoids biases that often equirectangular projections have. The figure C on the slide shows how these images, how the pixels are distributed inside the images based on their contrast detection probability. A score of minus one means complete loss of detection. A score of positive one means amplification of the imperceptible details compared to the source HDR. To refine our new segments, we segmented these images into four different regions, namely the wall, window or the view, desk and the floor areas. And with this method, we not only gauge the overview of the TMO performance, but also understand its implication for UOV research. And with the segmentation, we can see how contrast is preserved among the major scene elements for UOV research. Now, onto our results. On this slide, we're showing average distribution of contrast across 10 scenes for film mapping operator, as well as the video, which is the last one on this slide, based on the CIVDM for each pixel. The gray band you see on the slide shows the thresholding we used at minus 0.1 and plus 0.1, which helps us understand the perceptible differences when it comes to images. And from this figure, we can see that TMOs like Ward 97, Reinhardt 02L, Driver 03, you can see also in this quantile, have minimum level of contrast loss, but tends to emphasize imperceptible details through contrast amplification. On the other side of the spectrum, we have video, Reinhardt 05, and Patinic 00. Which have minimum level of contrast amplification, but have significant amount of contrast loss. And the remaining TMOs, Durand 02, Reinhardt 05L, Manchuk 08, have balanced performance with less than 10% on either side loss or amplification. And if we dive deeper into this issue of contrast, on this slide, we're showing average level of contrast amplification and contrast loss across 10 scenes for each TMO, segmented by U region. And this shows that the majority of the contrast loss that we observed from the video output on the previous slide is mainly concentrated on the floor region. And given that the purpose of these images is to evaluate our perception of view out through the window, it's quite unlikely that viewers will focus on this floor region looking at variations in the carpet pattern. And this figure, therefore, shows that we need to be cautious about performing full image analysis or a research focusing on view out. So to address this issue, we did the same analysis using the same type of figure, but this time on the view mask, which is the window region on the images. And here we can see a significant improvement in the TMO Reinhardt 05 and video with much less contrast loss. And the video performs quite comparatively against other film operators with its ability to preserve contrast for more than 80% images across all of these edit scenes. To better visualize these results, on this slide we have a figure showing average contrast preservation at the 90% level for the whole image, which is listed as all, and the view region, which is the window of the images. And yeah, from the results, we can see that the standout performer is Manchuk 08. It consistently performs the highest across all of the examined scenes for our analysis. But what's particularly interesting for us is the performance of the video. It holds its own with a performance comparable to the full range of tone mapping operators. And this result highlights the potential of using this camera-based tone mapping procedure for capturing views into the video output for future research in VR and lighting. But in evaluating these results, it is important to still acknowledge that the results from video output from cameras automatic tone mapping procedure does produce a lot of contrast loss, and especially in the regions that are darker, which are the floor, desk, and the walls. And these areas also appear perceptibly much darker compared to the outputs from other tone mapping operators. And what this results in is the amplified ratio amongst higher level scene features, namely the contrast ratios within the scenes. To highlight this point, here we have a figure showing relative contrast ratios between the HDR and the TMO outputs for ratios view to wall, wall to floor, and view to desk. The local tone mapping operator, Reinhardt 0HL, comes closest in retaining these contrast ratios, but none of the tone mapping operator avoids having more than twice or less than half of the contrast compared to the source HDR. And what this shows is the limitation of virtual reality display that most of us are familiar with, which is the limited luminance range from 0.2 to 86 candlelight per square meter. This is the contrast ratio of 430:1. To put this into perspective, the scenes that we examined for our analysis oscillated dramatically in terms of the contrast ratio from 320:1 all the way to 7,700:1, settling at a median of 1,200:1. It's important to acknowledge that the VR headset that we used, Pico Neo Pro 3i, had a very typical luminance range as other marketly available devices. And the S-shaped tone curve of our camera that we used, Canon EOS R5, has a similar tone curve across other devices as well. So in summary, what we want to highlight here is that our analysis do give a glimpse of what's capable using the digital cameras and video headsets. But if an experiment requires preserving this higher level contrast ratios, the regional contrast, or accurate indoor environment perception, it is important to conduct further analysis and studies to see if any tone mapping operator is capable of retaining such higher scale information for the assessment. Wrapping up, in conclusion, our analysis showed effectiveness of cameras automatic tone mapping as a method for capturing dynamic view outs. It performed similarly to the outputs of other tone mapping operators, the 9 TMOC validated for capturing contrast for the window region, which is the focus of these experiments. And the LDR output from the camera allows capturing in real time dynamic movement and temporal changes in light conditions, which is important for future VR research. At the same time, we also showed the potential of using CIDVM contrast invariant difference metric with a focus on human visual perception as a valuable tool for comparing performance of these TMOs. We also showed the importance of considering contrast amplification alongside contrast loss for assessing visual accuracy and realism aspects. And last point, as technology advances, the camera's direct capture workflow will see its improvements, but in the meantime, we have a vast potential in experimenting with different scenes, devices, and outfits, and maybe using the computer-based visual perception models like the CIVDM can play a pivotal role in assessing realism and visual accuracy before conducting human-based experiments. More details on this study is available in the upcoming CIE proceeding with the same title as the presentation. Sorry for the long title. And before we get to questions, I wanted to invite Stefan. We can talk a little bit about the details behind input image transformation.
Yeah, so the one kind of technical challenge we had was comparing the video output to the rest of the HDR tone mapping outputs that all are using the same source data. And the CIVDM metric requires a kind of one-to-one exact mapping, but we're capturing these dynamic scenes that have movement in them. And so we couldn't even take the first frame from the video because there was enough change that overwhelmed any of the other difference, and it wouldn't work. So it's fairly... So what we ended up doing is recovering the video tone curve by comparing that first frame from the video output to the HDR, which you can see here that we have the normalized video pixel value against the HDR pixel value. And so then this becomes the tone mapping, effective tone mapping curve of the video capture and the camera's onboard compression. Now, it's not a very smooth line because the scene has changed, right? Things have moved around. But we can throw away all of those outliers and get this just kind of the middle median values and doing this for each of the scenes and then get a smooth running average and then use that to now apply to the HDR. And so now we have a one-to-one comparison. So that was kind of the one hiccup in the process, I guess, where we had to kind of make do with what we have. So, thank you, and thanks, Uni.
Yeah, that's